Becker versus Walton. Becker versus Walton.
Morning.
Morning.
At least for Charles Campbell from Randall Murphy Campbell with North Nebraska. I represent the appellant, Doug Becker. This is a personal injury case that resulted from an auto collision after Ms. Walton, the athlete, pulled out from a stop intersection along Highway 81 in front of Mr. Becker's oncoming vehicle and failed to yield the right of way. Mr. Becker received some soft tissue injury as a result of the collision to his neck and shoulder and received physical therapy. He incurred about $3,700 in medical bills for the treatment of those injuries. It was a fairly simple case with relatively minor injuries and modest medical bills, yet every issue in the case was litigated all through a jury trial. The case is about whether or not
My recollection is the defendant ended up admitting everything prior to the hearing on the motion for summary judgment, other than the nature and extent of the injuries. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So not everything was litigated then in that trial.
It was litigated through the summary judgment proceeding up until the admissions that were served a day before the hearing.
Okay.
And that's going to be my primary argument. I'll address that. The case is about whether the discovery rules allow a party to deny requests for admissions and continuous denials well after it receives evidence showing that the basis for the requests are true, and then to finally serve admissions the day before a hearing or trial after the requesting party has had to incur the expense of obtaining the proof of those matters. That's what happened in this case. Rule 37 or Section 6337 sub C of the Nebraska Rules of Discovery require that a court award a party its fees and expenses incurred in proving matters that have been denied unless the other party proves that its failure to admit was justified under one of the exceptions to the requirement.
Is it your position that because you had to conduct a discovery, therefore you're entitled to fees because you had to conduct discovery?
No. Certainly they were entitled to conduct discovery to obtain facts to show the basis for those requests before they eventually serve admissions.
And we're not seeing a real untimely delay here. This case moved relatively quickly, did it not?
To clarify, Judge, we are not seeking fees for their initial denial of our requests. We're not seeking fees for the expense incurred in discovery. We are seeking fees for their continued denials after they obtained the information that showed the truth of the matters that were requested. They continued those denials until we had to file the motion for partial summary judgment and submit the proof. That motion was filed 3 months after they obtained all the information that showed the basis for the request was true, nearly 4 months before the hearing was held.
Are you using the date of the deposition?
No, not the date of the yes, I am using the date of the depositions, just when they had all that information, because they had the medical records a month before the depositions were taken. So the depositions were the final material that they were provided to establish the truth of those matters. Yes, and that was the end of February. The motion for partial summary judgment was filed the end of May, so that was 3 months. The hearing was held nearly 4 months after they had that information. Now, that may not seem like an inordinate amount of time, but we were on a fast progression here. The county court scheduled the pretrial conference in March. And I'm aware that the county court moves cases along quickly, so we tried to obtain this information early on. We obtained a continuation of that pretrial conference to allow discovery to be completed, but then the hearing was again set 2 months later. That's when we filed a motion for partial summary judgment. They had this information for nearly 3 months before we filed that motion, and yet they did not amend the responses until the day before the hearing. After we had served all of the proof that we had obtained in support of the motion for summary judgment on them, and they were aware that that would be established as a hearing on the motion for partial summary judgment.
And on the day before the hearing, then, was there a joint stipulation that was entered into by the parties?
Joint stipulation that those matters were being established as a court could go ahead and enter a partial summary judgment. Yes, that's correct. Each of the courts that have addressed this issue in similar cases have ordered that fees be awarded under Rule 37 of the Rules of Discovery. Our rules, of course, are patterned on the federal rules, so the cases deal with the same rules that we are addressing.
But isn't our rule slightly different than the federal rule?
Not in terms of awarding fees for matters that are deemed to be proven.
But the 30 days is only in the Nebraska rules, right?
You're referring to filing a motion for fees, within 30 days. That part is
that's the difference.
That's the difference, correct. Not whether or not you're entitled to recover fees for proving matters that were denied.
So the real issue is what the deans have to prove them out.
Correct. And that's what the case law addresses and I focus on in my brief. We've got the Texas case of Peralta versus Durham, very similar case. Involved a similar personal injury auto accident to what we had here. In that case, the party amended their responses, admitted the day before trial. The court said that even though you admitted the day before trial, the party still had to obtain and submit its proof. Your admission does not relieve you of the obligation to pay fees and expenses under Rule 37. If it were to do that, then what we would be doing is promoting the sharp practice that occurs by simply waiting until the day before a hearing to serve amended responses. That would defeat the purpose behind Rule 36. The court not only stated that in Peralta versus Durham, the same rationale was followed by the court in Campana, where the party did the same thing the day of the trial, served amended responses. And the district court distinguished those two cases on the basis that, well, those responses were served the day of or the day before a trial, not a motion for partial summary judgment. Well, there are a couple of cases that involve pretrial hearings, so that's not a distinction under Rule 37. It doesn't matter whether matters are deemed to be submitted at or before a trial or a motion for partial summary judgment. The case of Chemical Engineering Corporation versus Essex Industries that I discussed on page 31 of my brief did in fact involve a hearing on a motion for summary judgment. Indeed, the Nebraska Federal District Court case of Johnson International Company that I discussed on page 23 of my brief, the district court ordered an award of fees under Rule 37 after matters were deemed admitted at a pretrial conference. And the court cited the same language that was cited by the Texas court in the Peralta case and stated at the time that Johnson admitted these facts at the pretrial conference, Jackson Life had expended its time and money to prove the facts and had done so after Johnson had failed to admit the pertinent request. Plainly, Rule 36 would be frustrated if fees were not awarded. Same situation we've got here. The court also cited the treatise of Wright and Miller for that proposition. So each of the courts that have considered this issue has concluded that where a party serves admissions on the eve of a trial or a pretrial hearing, that fees and expenses are to be awarded under Rule 37. Walton has not cited a single case that has denied an award of fees in this situation. The problem here was not, as I stated, not that the defendant initially denied the request, but that they continued the denials after they had the information that showed that the matters requested were true. And only after he served them with the proof that was part of our motion for partial summary judgment. I'm not going to have time to address each of the assignments and arguments presented in my brief, so I would ask that you refer to my brief or any arguments I'm not able to address. One of those was Judge Stecker's ruling that we didn't file the motion timely, that it should have been filed within 30 days after the order for partial summary judgment was entered. That wasn't even raised on appeal to Judge Stecker, so I would submit that wasn't properly before him. But
can the court find plain error?
Even if that were to be done, the case law and the statute provides that matters are not deemed to be proven until I file. The statute on orders for partial summary judgment provides that it is at trial that those matters are deemed to be established.
Well, how does that play into your argument that you prove that? Is the rule that they're not proven until trial?
Exactly. They are deemed to be proven at trial. And in fact, we did offer their responses for the request for admissions into evidence at trial. That is when the law deems them, in fact, to be proven. And we submit that we did, in fact, prove that. Not only by submitting the material at the motion for partial summary judgment in advance of the hearing, but in fact that evidence was presented at trial in the record, and that is when the facts were deemed to be established. That's also what the court stated in Peralta versus Durham, that it was at trial that the matters were deemed to be established.
And so if the other side had tried to change their position at trial, is it your position you could have?
No, it could not have, since those matters were deemed to be
admitted as admitted.
No, not until trial. That is when they are legally deemed to be proven.
So then what prevents the defendant from taking a different position at trial?
There's a judicial admission that had already been entered. They could try and withdraw. They could certainly try, file a motion for leave to withdraw their responses. But of course, that did not occur. I see I'm out of time. I haven't addressed the remaining issues. I would, again, request the court refer to the argument in my brief. I would ask that the court reverse the ruling of the district court, remand the case to the district court for an award of fees, and authorize me to submit an affidavit under Rule 2-109 for fees and for them. Thank you for your consideration.
A minute 24. May it please the court. My name is Anastasia Wagner. I represent Tanya Wolfe in this action. And I think we're losing sight of this three-month issue, 3 months between the date of the deposition and the date that the admissions were supplemented to admit all that had been denied previously. And that's 3 months. And in the scope of 8 months from file to trial, and when the plaintiff's final discovery supplement was served the day before the motion for summary judgment was filed. And this is also not a case where the summary judgment materials were filed with the summary judgment affidavit was filed with the motion. So it's not as though there was an opportunity to say, oh, the motion for summary judgment was filed, we should have waited. But even this whole argument, it ignores the rule. And if we go back to what the rule says and the commentary of the rule, as this court has recently in August has determined, this is proof at trial. 37C, if a party fails to admit, there was no failure to admit. They were admitted. All of the cases cited by Mr. Becker's attorney involved denials and continued denial through trial, through the time that it's stipulated, they were all denied. Either denials through trial or denials that were stipulated either on the eve of trial or something like that. Never was there a case where they were actually admitted, such as in the Insta case. So first, there's not a failure to admit. And then we have, okay, well, first it has to be a failure to knit. Then that requires that the evidence be proven. Well, here it wasn't proven. There was no evidence offered on summary judgment. It was confessed. The order says summary judgment was not opposed. It was confessed. And counsel for the plaintiffs, attendance was waived at the hearing. So there was nothing proven at the hearing.
Is there any effect to the fact that they should have offered a trial?
They weren't offered, and I don't recall this completely, and this didn't come up in my briefing, but I think they were just offered because they weren't, the issues were not an issue. It was a trial on pain and suffering. I don't even believe they were read to a jury. I think they were just offered to survivors.
Was nature and extent of the injury still an issue of trial?
No, it was simply pain and suffering. We admitted he had a neck injury. We admitted the bills. We admitted the treatment. It was solely a trial on what are his general
injuries. Had there also been a claim for a back injury and that went away at some point?
Correct. One of the requests for admission, which goes to exactly why we need discovery, was, it was request 10, which was admit plaintiff suffered a neck and back injury as a result of this accident. And we take Mr. Badger's deposition, and he testifies, no, I never hurt my back. I'm only complaining about the neck. And so then we deny he ever had a back injury. We continued that denial, and that is not had a neck injury. After.
Was the appellant required to put on more expert testimony at any point?
No, it was not required. He chose to do so. But he was not required to do so.
You were not arguing about that.
Correct, not at all. No, it was pain or suffering was the only issue of trial. We admitted causation, expert needed as to causation. He chose to call his physical therapist and his physician, but that was a strategic choice as to damages, not a necessary element of their case.
Was it something you were aware of?
No.
And the medical bills have been stipulated, is that correct?
Not stipulated, they've been admitted. Their summary judgment had been granted on the medical bills. So we were the only issue was the nature and extent. Okay, so we talked about there was no failure to admit. We talked about there was no actual proof on summary judgment or at trial. And then within 30 days of so proving, and I think the court has recognized you can uphold the judgment for a judgment for different reasons than the lower court did.
What is your position on your 30 days from the date of the summary judgment?
And Judge, if you look at the case law, if you look at how Nebraska has interpreted the case law, this is a proof at trial statute. This is not a proof on summary judgment statute. So I think that if you say within 30 days of so proving, that has to be within 30 days of proof at trial. If, however, you elect to broaden the scope and go beyond how the Supreme Court has traditionally applied this statute and apply it to summary judgment, then I think you have to equally apply this language. And I would note that there is no case, none of the cases, there is no case where summary judgment, a partial summary judgment, has been involved in 2017. No case. There is one summary judgment case, and I believe it was chemical engineering, that Mr. Becker cited. That was a full summary. And if you go to how Nebraska has applied the law, it has only been a trial. And it has only been when there are denials and the request had been denied for the trial, which simply didn't happen here.
Is it a problem with that issue was not raised in the Wake County Court?
That one issue. The
issue of whether or not the request for attorneys was in contention.
It was a raise, it was just not addressed in the order.
Okay. county, the order entered by the county courts have been in deal.
Ultimately, if you look big picture, this is an attempted end around Section 25, 824, which is the prohibition against attorney fees, except in frivolous cases. The public policy of the state of Nebraska is that we do not grant attorney fees unless the case is frivolous, and case law is defined frivolous as ridiculous. And we can't get into a point of sanctioning legitimate discovery. And I understand that counsel has indicated they're not challenging discovery, but in the big picture, that's what's happening here, is using this as a tool to obtain attorney's fees, or as an attempted thing of discovery as the time to develop facts. We don't, in this state, like trial by ambush. Well, in this instance, it's I'm going to serve requests for admission prior to any discovery. In fact, serve it with the complaint. And you either admit them now or pay my attorney's fees later. Because there is no authority that says how quick is quick enough to admit requests for admission that has previously been passed. And you're getting into something that is extremely extremely beyond the rule and very fact dependent. So unless there's additional questions from the court, I would say not a single authority supports what is being asked of this court. We ask that this court perform the order of the county court and of the district court.
Okay. Thank you.
The case is submitted. Counsel, to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.